Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 2, and we're going to work from, I would say definitely we need to work from verse number 8 and move back forward to where we were. Some of this we covered on Saturday, but there was so much juice in this particular passage that a lot of it I did not cover, and I would be remiss, I believe, not to bring this out because we need to see what the writer of Hebrews were giving these people for encouragement. Now, we do remember that this particular chapter starts out letting you know that the men that followed the Lord Jesus Christ, God confirmed it and authenticated that they were who they were supposed to be, and that they were showing the revelation, the last revelation of God in His Son, Jesus Christ. I hope that we remember that. If not, we should be able to pick that up on the podcast. Now, let's go back into the scripture so we can make the most of our time right now. Listen to what the Bible says. Tim was going to go ahead and start with 8, but I decided to pull it from 6, highlight 8, and then move forward. But one said in a certain place and testified, saying, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" Our topic for tonight is going to be the revelation of Jesus and what he accomplished as man, so that we can accomplish what God wants us to do as mankind. What Jesus accomplished as man, so that we can accomplish what God wants accomplished by us as mankind. There is no reason for an individual to ever pray this kind of prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. If we feel that God does not own the kingdom, that God does not have the power and the glory forever, there is no point in us praying, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," when we look and we see the most magnificent thing that God has ever done for mankind. He did it through a man. Yes, Jesus was God and man, but he did not do it as God. Let's let the scripture say what it has to say. "But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you visiteth him?" We've covered that. We are talking about the glory and honor that God bestows on man, as great as God is, that he would come and do this. And we expanded that. Verse 7 says, "You made him lower than the angels." You did not give him a celestial body. You did not give him a body that could fly. You made him lower than the angels. You did not give him the strength of angels, nor the wisdom. But the Bible said you crowned him with glory and honor, and you did set him over the works of your hand. And I went back and showed you these things in the book of Genesis, that's what God did. He planted a garden eastward in Eden, and he put Adam, his man, the man over all of these things. I showed you these things. Verse 8 said, "You have put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that you put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him." And that's God's perfect order. And that's what God has seen fit for man to have. What we see in our world is a perversion of these things. Then we said, but now we don't see all things put under him. We don't. But the Bible says to these men, to these Hebrew people, but there's one thing: if you don't see all things up under man, but you see Jesus. You see Jesus. He was made a little lower than the angels because, being God, he was not lower than the angels. He took on humanity. He was made lower than the angels for the suffering of death. As God, the Word of God, the living Word of God, the Creator of mankind, I didn't say the Father, I said Jesus, the Word. He could not suffer death. We see Jesus. All things we don't see under man as it should be. Man sinned. Man got himself a new father, the devil. Man became a servant and a slave to sin. Man became under sin, under the death penalty, according to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. But the writer of Hebrews said, but we see Jesus. It says he was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. That he, by the grace of God, for the individual that don't like God the Father, for the individual that think that God is cruel and mean, this is by the grace of God that he should taste death for every man. This is the importance and the magnificence of Jesus Christ accomplishing what he's accomplishing as man so that we can know what we are to accomplish as mankind. The Bible says, verse 10, for it became him for whom are all things and by of whom are all things and bringing many sons to glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. This is what the Father wanted. It became him of whom are all things. The Son proceeds from the Father. And by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. This is a work that he would have to do as a human, as God. He does not suffer like that. Well, make your point, Tim. Now we roll into our message. For he that sanctifieth, and they who are sanctified, are all of one. For he that is set apart, and they that are set apart, while he that is set apart for God's will and they that are set apart for God's will are all of one. For this cause, he is not ashamed to call them brethren. What does that mean? What are we talking about? There's one reason he's not ashamed to call them brethren, because they are his brethren. The Hebrew people are considered brothers. Let's look in our Bibles. Luke chapter 3. Verse 48. I want us to understand, I'm sorry, it's a 38. Can't be a 48. There's not a 48 in Luke 3. If you look at 37 and 38, you'll see the genealogy is actually going backwards from Luke. The earlier part is going to end with Adam. So we go from Methuselah, because a lot of people have heard of Methuselah. So it says, which was Methuselah, which was the son of Enoch, which was the son of Jared, which was the son of Mahalalel, which was the son of Canaan, which was the son of Enos. We're going back with about three more, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Some people don't understand that Adam was the son of God. Adam did not have a human father, period. Now the Bible tells in Luke chapter 1 that Gabriel came to Mary and said, hail, you are highly favored. And she wondered what kind of salutation that would be. And he told her that what would happen if the power of the highest would overshadow her. And that she would have a child. And that child would sit on the throne of his father David. And she wanted to know how these things would be. But the angel told her that child would be called the Son of God. John 3:16 tells you Jesus is God's only begotten Son. There's too many places in the scripture that lets us know that Jesus' Father is God. So when God did that with Jesus, this is not the first time that God was the father of a human. So now when we see, well, he is sanctified. Sanctified and they that are sanctified are all of one. They are all human, but it goes deeper than that. Why do you say that, Tim? You have to go back to verse 10 and you see it is of one that calls them to be bringing to glory by his Son. He said that I wanted to be done through suffering. And therefore, when we see that he is sanctified and they that are sanctified are all of one, Hebrews 10:10 says, by the which will we are sanctified by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. But how does this play out? What significance is it for us? What does it really matter in our lives, all of this talk about Jesus and him doing God's work and him fulfilling it as a man so that we can fulfill what God wants us to do as man? Let's roll into the scriptures and see. In John chapter 17, verse 3, we must at least begin to go and see the work that he did. And then once we see the work that he did, we're going to be able to see what it is that we need to do. But up until then, we might just talk. So in John chapter, it was called St. John for some people, John 17 and 3, listen to what Jesus says and listen to how this thing works in the book of Hebrews. It's quite amazing. Jesus says, and this is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. And now, O Holy Father, glorify thou me with your own self, with the glory that I had with you before the world was. Listen to this. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou hast given me out of the world. Thine they were, and you gave them me, and they have kept thy word. One thing I just want to emphasize right here is that Hebrews 2:1 says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first was spoken by the Lord and confirmed by them that heard him? Jesus said, what I did was manifested your name, and I gave it to them. Let's move on down and see what the word says. He says here in verse 8, I have given them the words that you gave me. They have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee and have believed that thou didst send me. I will submit to you that this is the sanctification process. This is the process that Adam did not take. Adam had God's word, and instead of staying with God's word, he took the word of the serpent. You say the serpent didn't come to him, but the serpent told Eve something. She was beguiled, and Adam could see that she didn't look like she died, and Adam went into rebellion. But I'm not through making the case. Jesus says right here in verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Are you seeing the separation? Are you seeing that the one that's sanctified is doing some sanctification here? I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which you have given me, for they are thine. And all thine are mine, and all thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Listen to the sanctification process. Verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those that thou have given me, that they may be one as we are. Feel what we're saying here in the scripture. We're working from Hebrews chapter 2:11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. Well, which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Again, in that 11th verse, keep through thine own name those who thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. We're not finished. Verse 12 says, while I was with them, I kept them in thy name. Those that have given me, or you gave it me, I have kept, and none is lost save the son of perdition, that the scripture may be fulfilled. Walk with me. Verse 13. And now I come to thee. These things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world. Notice, he that is sanctified and they that are sanctified are all of one. He that is separated and they that are separated as well are all of one. He says, I have given them thy word and the world hates them. There's a separation because they are not of the world. There's a sanctification process that's taking place. Even as I am not of the world. 15, I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but you should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I am set apart. I am sanctified to do your will, and I'm asking you to do the same thing for them. Verse 17 spells it out. Sanctify them, set them apart, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, even so I have sent them. Understand, for a person to not believe that Jesus was sent of the Father, they should not then believe that the apostles were sent by Jesus. In the same way I was sent, is the same way they're going to be sent into the world. Verse 19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for all them also that will believe on me through their word. This is what Hebrews 2 is explaining. Believing on him through his word. Why? Remember, we're working in verse 11. Verse 11 said, both he that sanctified and they that are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. The sanctification process is put there for them to be set apart. That would encourage the hearts and the minds of those people that were getting ready to go through persecution, that are getting ready to be mistreated, that this is the lot that we have to fight and to honor and glorify our Father as he did. Now listen to what Jesus said. That this is verse 21. I'm back in John now. That they all may be one. This is very important. This is the last part of my subject. We're talking about what Christ did as man so that we can do God's commandment, that we can do and fulfill what God has for us to do as mankind. Here it is, that they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast given them to me. And listen to this. And the glory which you gave me, I've given them, that they may be one, even as we are. For people that can't understand that God is one the Father, God is one the Son, God is one the Holy Spirit, and you think it's just one person, then what about us? We're not just one person, but we are the body of Christ, but we are members in particular, the scriptures say. 23. It's important. It's very important that you hear this. I in them, let me read 22 and 23 together, and the glory which you gave is me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect or complete in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Jesus fulfilled the will of God as man. But the problem that most people have, and the problem that most people never really understand or think about when they read the scripture, is that they think about Jesus only as being God. But the Bible does not show him to just be God. It doesn't do it. It shows him as God and man. But what's the significance of all you just read, Tim? That they that are sanctified, well, he that is sanctified and they that are sanctified are all of one. With all that Jesus said, listen to what Jesus promises his disciple in John 14. This is very pretty when you tie it together. 14 and 21. He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loveth or continues to love me. And he that loves me will be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. If you don't think that's a big deal, let's read further. Judah saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Verse 23, hold this in your mind. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, how do you know he loves me? He keeps his word. If a man love me, he will keep my word. I don't care what you say, what you feel. Jesus, the last revelation of God, has spoken. If a man love me, he will keep my words. Listen, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. This is how Jesus fulfilled God's word as man. And this is how we are to fulfill God's word as mankind. He fulfilled it as the captain of our salvation being sanctified. And because he did it as man, he is showing us how we can fulfill God's word as mankind. I know it might sound hard. I know it might sound far-fetched. But let's look and see what this stuff really means. Go to John chapter 8, verse 14. We need to understand what this stuff means. First of all, he said, I'm going to send them like you sent me. Didn't he say it? Listen to what he did, what he said about himself in John 8 and 14. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. You judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. What did he say? If a man love me, he will keep my word, and I will love him, and I will come unto him, and my Father will come, and we will make our mone, our abode, what you call mansion. The Greek word is mone. It is not mansion. It's abode. Listen to what else it says. Verse 16, and if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that has sent me. It is written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. I'm going to show you that Jesus is going to show you that all is of one. It's not of me. I did not orchestrate this. I did not set this up. It is God that is making the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. He is the one that is sanctifying and set apart the sanctification so that Jesus as man can fulfill the will of God. He could have destroyed Satan as God. And now we're going to have no excuse for us not to do his will and have all things in subjection under our feet. Everything is already in subjection under his feet. But we have a job to do. It don't look like it, Hebrews said, but he said, you see Jesus. We see Jesus. That ought to give us hope and encouragement. Bless God forever. Amen. Look at John 8 and 26. Very, very important scripture in the Bible. Jesus says, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world, those things which I heard of him. He's letting you know that I am God in the flesh, but what I'm teaching you and preaching to you, I'm not doing it that way. I'm doing it of my Father. Listen to what he says. I have many things to say. I have many things to judge. But he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. And that's what the apostle was supposed to do. Verse 27 says, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Verse 28, then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. They add that he, you will know that I'm he, and that I do nothing of myself. None of my miracles, none of my raising of the dead, none of my telling you anything that I tell you, it says none of these things I do of myself. Do you understand that he that sanctified and they that are sanctified are one? Do you understand that the captain of our salvation is made perfect through suffering? Do we understand that he did this as man? And that now we can look and see what we are to do as man? If the miracles he did, if the sufferings he went through, and what he taught, he didn't do it as God. It was that God was telling him what to do. How much should we listen? How much should we speak his word? Lord, have mercy on my soul. Read it again, Tim. It says, Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, you shall know that I am he. I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. 29, and he that sent me is with me. He that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Can you understand the promise that Jesus is making when he says to us, if a man love me, he will keep my word, then I will love him, and my Father will love him, and we'll come in and make our abode. But see, we could go back and we didn't know it was all of one, but he was God. I'm getting rid of your excuses. God is talking, I am listening. I'm in the total opposite of what Adam did. Total opposite. Listen to John 8:38. I want us to see that what we're reading in the book of Hebrews, this thing is sweet. Jesus said, I speak that which I have seen. Which I've seen of my Father. You do that which you have seen of your Father. John 8:48, because I'm skipping some for the sake of time. I just want you to just see. You ought to read John 8 sometime and see what Jesus says about himself and how he does what he does. John 8:48, the people said, the Jews said, you a Samaritan, you got a devil. Jesus answered and said, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. The sanctification process will never allow you to be one that will dishonor the Father. It will always give honor to God that he deserves. Well, Jesus told him in John 8:54 and 55, he said, you know, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It's the Father that honors me. You want to be of one? He makes the captain of salvation perfect through suffering. He sanctifies him. He sanctifies himself to be with God. The same thing for us. He does God's will as man. And now we can see that we can do God's will as mankind. Let's go back to where we were, because I don't want us to lose our place. This is some powerful stuff. But what it does is it helps us to understand how we fail when we lay back and wait on Jesus to come back from the air to do what God wants us to do. Let's go back again to verse 9:10. We had 11. Going to 11. We see Jesus, who is made lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he should taste death for every man. For it became him, it became God, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For this cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. This is brought out in the scripture for us to understand when we look at 2 Corinthians 5:14, this is all of one. It's all about God. It's not about you. It's not about your feelings. It's not about a tongue. It's not about a miracle. It's about God doing his will. And he did his will through his Son as the last revelation. And the Son said, I listened to the Father. I heard the Father. He's in me. He doesn't leave me. That's how I was able to do God's will and defeat Satan. And now I'm telling you to be the same thing. He's sanctified, you be sanctified. 14, 2 Corinthians 5 says, for the love of Christ constrains us, or it impels us, because we thus judge. If one died for all, then all are dead. And he that died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live to themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. The writer is saying, look, Jesus died. He died for you. He died for every one of us that are called. And if he died for us, guess what? We don't have to die for ourselves. So therefore, if he died for us and we enter into that, we should live to him. That's the argument that he's making. But let me show you, that was the background. Listen to what he says in 17. Talk about the sanctification and the captain of our salvation. The captain of our salvation was made perfect or complete through suffering. He died for all. He died for us. That was what God wanted him to do. Now verse 16 says, wherefore henceforth we know no man after the flesh, yea, but we have known Christ after the flesh we did. Yet now henceforth we know him no more. Read some more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. The individual becomes a new life. The individual is sanctified with God. The individual walks in a sanctification, and he has God with him and Christ with him, living in him to do his will. But let's see what he says here, because it said they all are of one. Verse 18 says, and it's very important that you see that. I think what I'll do is separate the two, because I have two Bibles open, so I can go back and forth. Where it says here, where it says both he that sanctifies and they which are sanctified are all of one. What is called, he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Verse 18 in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us a ministry of reconciliation, to wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we as the ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ that are in the stead or in the place of Christ, be ye reconciled to God. Do you see that what he is telling these writers in the Hebrews? He's telling them Christ was sanctified and he is the one that does it. He didn't sanctify it. He was sanctified and he sanctified us, because those that are sanctified are passive. He that sanctifies is doing the active work. We are all of one. Which one? God is reconciling the world to himself. Do you see it? All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus. Do you see it? And then it says, and give it to us a ministry of reconciliation. He didn't just make the captain of our soul, of our salvation perfect through suffering. He did not just sanctify himself just so he could sanctify us so that we could go to heaven. He fulfilled God's will as man so that we can see that we can fulfill his will in our life as mankind as long as we do what he did. He stayed in God's word. He listened to God's word, and the Father was in him, and he didn't make his own ways of doing things. And he said, Father, I pray that they will be one as we are, I and you, you and me, and they and us. Lord God Almighty, this is why we fail. We don't see the calling as we should. Verse 19, to wit, or I want you to know that God was in Christ, the man Christ, reconciling the world to himself. God is spirit. He was in Christ. Christ did not do these things as man, not imputing their trespasses to them, but he committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We got work to do. Now he says, we are the ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. For he, this is God, made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. That was the job, the captain of our salvation, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Because right now Christ is the righteousness of God. God has given to us a ministry of reconciliation, that we may be one in him. All of this might seem like it's a bit much. It's not a bit much, because most people don't even know these things about God. And the thing is, that's why people leave the word of God and they go get into a cult. Because we don't understand who Christ is. We don't understand that God has Christ. Christ sanctified himself. Christ is the one that sanctifies us, and we that are sanctified, we're supposed to be one, and he calls us brethren. He did not take on the form of angels. He took on the seed of Abraham. He became and came as human. Listen to what the writer Paul says again about him. Ephesians 1. Because now when we get to verse 14, when he talks about the children in Hebrews chapter 2, when he talks about the children of flesh and blood, we'll have a background to appreciate, to validate, and see what the revelation of God is for us. Now, the Apostle Paul, again, that we came from Paul in Corinthians when he told those people in Corinth over there in Macedonia. Now, he's telling these people in Ephesus in the same thing in a different way, in a clear way. Listen to what he says. Verse 1. He identifies himself, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints. That means sanctified ones, which are in Ephesus. And to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, where? In Christ Jesus. Now listen to what he says. According as he has chosen us in him, the captain of our salvation, in him, the one that sanctifies, in him, the one that prayed, Father. He said, I want them to be kept from the world, but not taken out of the world. Father, I want them to be one as we are. The one that says, if a man keep me, if a man love me, he'll keep my word. I'll come unto him. The Father will come unto him, and we'll manifest ourselves. It says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It's not about what we wanted. It's not about what we think. It wasn't about mankind was in sin. It wasn't because mankind needed to be redeemed. It's because of God's own will that he did it. Now listen to what he says. This is very important. That we, when we read these scriptures, that we see how this fits. Listen to, I'm going to read it one more time. Having predestinated unto us the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, we become children of God. Mankind were children of the flesh, which is children of Satan, because everybody had the death penalty. God is about life. Satan was a murderer from the beginning, according to John 8:44. And Jesus said, if a man live and believe in me, he'll never die. If he won't even taste of death. Go back and read John 8 when you're by yourself. Now listen to where we are. But we see Jesus. I'm at 2:9. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death. Look at the ministry of reconciliation that we get. The ambassadorship that we get because of this. Look at what he's accomplishing as man. He's crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he should taste death for every man, all mankind. Greeks, Jews, Gentiles, etc. Okay? But I want you to see this. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons, adopted sons, to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Do you see it here? Having predestinated unto us the adoption of children. If you were already children of God, you wouldn't have to be adopted. Come on, read! Think! If he's got the predestined that we become children by the adoption of Jesus Christ to himself, and it's according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. He has made us accepted in the one that sanctified himself. He has made us accepted in the one that offers himself as a living sacrifice. Hebrews 10:10 says, by the which will we are sanctified by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And having made us accepted in the beloved, and he dies for us, and all of us die to sin, therefore we live to him, and we walk in him, and he comes and gives his spirit to us, and he comes and manifests himself in us. We have a ministry of reconciliation. We have a ministry of what is called ambassadorship. We have a role to fulfill. How you gonna yourself in church and sing, and not see that you got a thing to do, that Christ did something as a man, and you thinking you can't do anything because you're a man.
Then it says, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the richness of his grace. Why do you say the riches of his grace? Because it says it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory to make them perfect, or to make them perfect through the salvation, through the suffering of their captain. Boy, you really messed that up when you quoted it, but that's okay. It means the same thing. Verse 8 says, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Listen to verse 9, it's very important. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he purposed in himself. I hope you all remember that I had told you all the other day that there was something that had taken place with Christ being killed, the captain of their salvation, that if the world had known it, they wouldn't have killed it. But just in case you forget, listen to 1 Corinthians 2, 6-8. I want you to see it. I want you to see it. This is the mystery that's revealed through the captain of our salvation, through the sanctifier, and the one that sanctifies us. It says in 1 Corinthians 2 and 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or complete, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes or the archon of this world, the leaders of this world, and I believe also as well we are dealing with the principalities, those in the spiritual realm that come to naught or nothing. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God had ordained before the world unto our glory. Didn't we just read, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated unto us the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself? Did we not see if one died for all, then all are dead? Do we not see that God has made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God? Do we not see that he sanctified himself so that they would sanctify themselves? Do we not see that he modeled it? I speak the words that God give me. I do the things that God has told me to do. I don't operate on my own authority. I am sent. I am sent. I am sent. I bring honor to the Father. I'm not coming to honor myself. When I get honor, it'll come from the Father. Verse 8 says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They wouldn't have killed him if they had known that was their defeat. Let's go, and I want you to see that before we go back to Ephesians. Go back to Hebrews 2 where we were. Listen to 11. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, flesh, in the midst of the church or the assembly, I will sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. God gave him through adoption. Listen to this. For then as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same flesh and blood, that through death the captain of their salvation is made complete through suffering, suffering unto death, even the death of the cross, according to Philippians 2. Wherefore also God has highly exalted him and gave him a name that's above every name. It says, he himself also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. He completed God's work as man. But how did he do it? He was sanctified. He listened to God's word. He watched what God did. He spoke God's word. The Father was in him. And he decided not to honor himself, but to honor his Father. And I will submit to you that the ministry that he has given to us is that we should be in him, and the Father in us, that we would seek to do the will of him that sent us. Therefore, we could do what Romans chapter 16 and 20 says. We can destroy Satan under our feet. Read it again. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Do you understand that he did not do it as God? Do you understand he didn't do it as an angel? Do you understand he didn't do it as some kind of mysterious thing? He did it as man. Because when you're falsely put to death, the one that wants to falsely accuse you and put you to death, that person gets the penalty of themselves, of what they want on you, on themselves. And that's what Satan did to him. Verse 15 says, and to deliver them who through fear of death were all their life subject to bondage. What bondage? You have the nature of sin. You have the nature of death, according to Romans chapter 5 and 6. And then it says, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, to be made like us, that he might be made a faithful and a merciful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. That's why 2 Corinthians 5 is important. It goes in, it blows it up so you can see it. We thus judge that the love of Christ constrains us, that if one died for all, then all are dead. If you're in Christ, you become a new creature because you're dead to sin, you become alive to God, you stop being a slave to sin, you become a slave to God, who is a righteous master, and then you begin to see that he gives us a ministry of reconciliation for the world to get things back in order. He gives us a word of reconciliation. And not only does he give us a word, he makes us ambassadors for him. That's the job. That's what he did as man. Then verse 18 says, for in that he himself suffered being tempted, he is able also to secure or save them which are tempted. Don't go telling him he don't know what we're going through. Because I've been there. The Father made it perfectly clear. This is how we're going to do it. We're going to do it through suffering. Now let's go back to Ephesians. So now I want you to see how this thing worked together. It's very, very, very pretty. And it says here, I'm in verse 7. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, the captain of our salvation, completed God's work, fulfilled God's role as a man, because he definitely did not have blood as God. Alright, verse 8, wherein he is abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. What was the mystery of his will? That he would defeat Satan with man. With man. You see, that was a time when Satan came around and he put himself in the position to take over man by seduction of Eve and by the rebellion of Adam. And the Bible said all men have sinned. You know it says it, those of you are all that know Romans 3 and 28. But the mystery of his will is not that I'm going to do it with my powers. The mystery of his will, he was going to do it through suffering, and that he would do it through the last revelation. Not through Moses, not through David, not through Solomon, not through Hezekiah, not through an angel, through his son. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. So when you start thinking about God got to make you happy and God got to give you something, you don't know the Bible. Even we're going to see in Hebrews, Jesus cried with strong tears. Father, is this the only way it can be done? Yep. They said, now that in the dispensation, they use that word for dispensational theology, but we're talking about the administration of the fullness of time. Remember, Hebrews starts out in the last days. He is spoken by his son, yes. And that's why you can see in Galatians 4 and 4, it said, when the fullness of time come, God sent his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we would have the adoption of sons. Galatians 4 and 4. It says that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and in earth, even in him. That's why we spend so much time in verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth, that's Christ, through God, God was working in Christ, but Christ through God, and they that are sanctified are all of one. But he's not ashamed to call them brethren, because he does it as human. He doesn't stop being God. I mean, imagine if you walked around, you got a 45, a bazooka, and somebody jumps on you, and they beat you up, and they find out, wait a minute, this man is a trained martial artist. He is so deadly. He had all these weapons, and you killed him. But you really didn't know that when you killed him, because you killed him unjustly, the God of heaven, the judge of all, that will make sure everything is right, is the only one stand between you and this, since this is a spiritual being that is doing the work through man, Satan. I'm going to raise him back up because he shouldn't be dead. You can see that in chapter 2 when Peter blames it on the people that Satan followed. It said, him you killed, and God raised him from the dead. Same thing, Nebuchadnezzar threw the Hebrew young men into the fire. God let him out. They threw Daniel in the lion's den. God let him out. So we're seeing the same kind of thing. He was killed, and God brought him out. And now he comes out as the strongest man that ever lived, the most blessed man that ever lived, and he's still God. But I did all that as man. I'm still the God man. But I don't have to hold back nothing, because I've already been glorified as man. Whew, glory to God. So in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and earth, even in him. That's why him doing it as a man, doing it with the Father in him, hearing the Father's word, the Father giving him the miracles that he did, and him praying that we would be one in him and he in us, that way that we would be one in him to do his will. Listen to what verse 11 says. In whom we have obtained an inheritance. Now, if you don't think that was done by him as human, how in the world you think Christ going to get an inheritance when the world is already his? Hebrews 1 and 1 says the Father, well, listen, I'll just go ahead and give it to you kind of quickly. God, who is sundry times and in diverse manners, in time past spake to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. Heir. That means he inherited all things, by whom also he made the world. He is the heir. And by him being the heir, that means everything belongs to him. But look at what it says here in 11 in Ephesians. In whom we have obtained an inheritance in Christ, being predestinated according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after you believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. We even get some earnest of the inheritance right now, until the redemption of the purchased possession. There's going to be a day that we're going to get it all. And it's not just going to be what we have in ourselves and that little bit we're able to accomplish. We're going to have it all. If we don't see that this is what Christ did for us. If you look back when we were in Hebrews chapter 1, that 4th verse said, Christ was made so much better. I mean, well, it says, not made better as man, but what he received as man when he did God's will, being the captain of our salvation, it says, being made so much better than the angels, as he by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Because he did fulfill God's will as man. Because he did what God wanted him to do as man and fulfilled it. Then we as people, we have the opportunity to have an inheritance with God as well. But individuals have no clue, often when we read the Bible, that it's so important that he was man. If we don't get that, we'll feel like it's no great big deal. that Jesus did these things. It is a big deal. He did it as man. And therefore, there is no excuse for us to say that we cannot do the things that God wants us to do because we are men. He did it, and he made it where we can understand what's going on in the Word. Let me show you something. The Bible has shown that we as the children of God are heirs with God and joint heirs with Christ. And if you don't know that, I believe that's in Romans chapter 8. And the point that I was making is that if Christ is the heir of all things, how is it then that we get to be heirs? It's because we become joint heirs because he's brought many sons to glory. That's what I'm going to stop on. For those that don't know what that is, I'm going to read Romans 8, 15 and through 18. Listen to what it says, and that's where we're going to end. The Bible says, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer like our captain with him, that we also may be glorified together. He asked the Father to glorify them. And then he says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. If we don't understand that God is doing these things to the glory of his pleasure and the good pleasure of his will, and that he made sure that it all would be in one, and that in that one, I am the orchestrator of that one. My son carries out that one. And then for you to realize that when my Father gives me a throne, Jesus would say, if you overcome, I'll give you to sit with me on my throne. But he did it through suffering. I'm not going to do it as God. I'm going to show Satan that when I created this world and gave it to man for him to have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and to rule it, that I knew what I was doing. And I had a man to fulfill it. Does he have any more? Are there any of us that want to fulfill it? Are there really any of us that want to hear God's word, learn his word, speak his word, suffer whatever it is that needs to be done because we don't understand all that's going on in the war that God has? Do you realize that Job's children died in the war, that God got the mind of his person, Satan has the mind of his person, and God did not use his godlike power to stop Satan, and that these children of Job died? But if you think that death is the end, and you don't believe that when you die, you actually go be in the presence of the Lord, or at that time you would still be in a place where you'd be alive, you would think that's the worst thing that could happen. The worst thing that could happen is that you're not being Christ, that you're not being God, that you would be dead and double dead like the second death that Revelation 21 and 8 talks about. Many of people have died for the sake of Christ. He did. Peter did. James did. And when we get to Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to find that not only the captain of our salvation was made perfect through suffering, some of us will have to be made perfect through suffering. Some will not. But God is the one that determines. We better have our mind right, like when I preached before my son died, before our son died. I preached on March the 14th, 2015, that we should have an unconditional love toward God. In less than 36 hours, our son was dead. 2 days later, I preached God's word and said, naked came I into the world, Job said, and naked will I leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And my wife and I said the same thing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We don't tell him what to do. Who are we? We don't know enough. They just keep one room in a house running perfectly, or the air, or the heat, or the lights, or the molecules, or the atoms, or whatever gases in this room, or radio frequencies. How are we going to tell God how to rule the whole world? We can petition and ask. And if we ask anything according to his will, he'll do it. He fulfilled his role as being the captain of our salvation as man. He defeated Satan as man so that we would know as mankind we can fulfill our role as mankind. We don't have to say we got to be God. Hopefully we'll think about these things and realize that we've shortchanged God a lot in this world and stop it. And stop it. And just stop it. Father, I pray that we would hold to your word and that we would look to your word and we would realize it can be done if we sanctify ourselves through your truth, that we'll allow Jesus to sanctify us as an ongoing process. If we would hear your word, if we would look to the goal, if we would keep your word in our mouth, your will in our hearts, and if we would keep your commandments, you promised us the very thing that you gave your son. You would come unto us and manifest. You would come unto us and make your abode. And then the captain of our salvation will come as God in spirit, yet he's still the God-man, and make his abode with us so that we can be successful. We can do the work of reconciliation. We can do the work of judgment. We can do the work of bringing this world back to where God wants it to be, because that's what you want. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Grant us to just have our mind right with you, I pray. In the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen, amen, and even so, amen.